So here's a question. Do these people love each other in Paul Haggis's new movie, Third Person, or do they just desperately need each other?
She having one of those days?
Don't talk about what you don't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being insensitive. I'm the one who just took a call from my spouse while I was with my lover.
That was stupid. I'm sorry.
It's the most overused word in your vocabulary.
Anna, I really need you to stop attacking me.
If you needed that, you wouldn't be with me.
It's actors Olivia Wilde and Liam Neeson keeping the audience in this film guessing about a dysfunctional couple, or are they a functional couple? Who is not functional? Who is and cannot be redeemed? Who can never be forgiven? It's all based on Haggis's notion of honesty in writing a very, very bizarre story. The movie also stars James Franco and Mila Kunis in New York and Adrian Brody and Moran Adias in Rome. The film is an absolute masterpiece of honesty and bravery that the audience will follow where Haggis, the director and the writer, wants to go.
I love to explore issues from the points of view of characters that I disagree with, people who bust myself for my own excuses and justifications, rationalizations, and that's as a matter of belief or lack thereof is my particular sin.
So you love to write in the middle of an argument with yourself in some way.
Exactly. That's what this was. And this took me 2.5 years to argue out as I was writing it.
In the Mercer Hotel?
There and other places, but often the Mercer.
That's an expensive place
to write. Wasn't staying in the Mercer. I lived down the street from the Mercer.
I see. Well, that's
they
good.
Were kind enough to let me write in the lobby. Yeah.
The third person, you know, it reminds me of The Third Man, the grand Graham Greene novel and movie that, has a very different approach to this. But The Third Person really talks about how relationships are complete when you add a third person in some way. What were you trying to get to?
Yeah, I mean, I think the title certainly referred to that. The fact that there's always a person, someone in a relationship who's influencing it, but often you don't know who that person is. You think it's, your mother-in-law or something like that, and it's not. It's something from your past. It's someone you're not even aware of who's influencing, the outcome of that relationship. But also, I loved the idea that this character, played by Liam Neeson, Michael, is a writer who is so distanced from his own feelings that he journals in the third person. His diary is in the third person, which is saying a lot about him. And then when his lover Olivia Wilde shows up, also a young author, they start talking about each other sometimes in playful ways, and sometimes very cruel ways in the third person.
These two actors in particular, Olivia Wilde and Liam Neeson, have a particular quality that I think you exploit amazingly on camera. Especially in the last few years, Liam Neeson, I think, has come into his own as really an actor who has an enormous amount of depth, whether he's doing a action adventure kind of thriller or something much more depth in terms of character. But he's got this ability to just make his face blank. And Olivia Wilde, almost the same way. They can go identityless. Adrian Brody to a certain extent, which is what makes this cast
James
really
Franco
terrific.
In this,
Franco,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, I was blessed with a cast like that. And do you want the audience to be able to sort of gaze into their eyes and look into their soul? And you want an actor who's brave enough to take that moment and allow you to do that. I think it was they really wanted to play characters that challenge them and dig in. And these are roles you've seen. Look at Olivia Wilde in this. You've never seen her like this.
Yeah.
And Mila Kunis, the same. And then there's some wonderful new actors.
The quality of the whole world is in this movie. It's set in New York. It's set in Paris. It's set in Rome. You get to see all of those places. And this idea of a third person who has an influence on a relationship is almost astronomical in the sense there's this unseen planet that has an influence, but you've got to really use your telescope to discover who that is. And it's sort of the narrative of the whole story here. It's big, even though it's about small relationships.
Yeah, and it isn't a movie it isn't a movie for people who like to think literally. I loved those films, from the 60s and 70s that just that challenged you in their form as well as their content, and that asked more questions than they answered. It was the kind of film you had to – and that's what I wanted to make, a film that you had to walk out on the sidewalk afterwards and argue about and go to the bar and hopefully think about the next day. Not that it was – this is not a Rubik's Cube of a puzzle. It's fairly simple, but hopefully some of those answers, some of those questions
– but raw and provocative. Resonate. So you're a fan of like Straw Dogs or Blow Up.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. No, those you've named two of my favorite films of all time.
Wow. You know, we don't make films like that these days.
No.
You don't see films like that these days.
Yeah, but I wanted to make one because I loved them so much.
What do you think people take away from this in terms of the arguments that they will have when this film is over?
I don't know. Hopefully they'll find themselves in one of these characters at least, and they won't necessarily be pleased about that. Or they'll find their lover or someone else, which is often easier. And it also, I really wanted to explore the nature of creativity, the role of a writer, and what that means, and what we do, and how selfish we are in that, how much, what we steal from, how we steal.
Say that almost confessionally.
It is.
People could see your face. You're just like going, I have to confess.
It is. Because you steal from your life. You steal from the lives of those around you. When we're not nice about it, you just never have a relationship with a writer, no matter how pleasant they look on the outside. You say something cruel to them or say something loving to them, and often they're thinking, that's really, really nice. I can use that.
I'll invoice you if I've said anything decent today.
Thank you.
You really nailed the issue of racism in the movie Crash, I think, at least in terms of the audience's reaction to it. I mean, I think it was very provocative and people discussed and talked about, the issue. Do you think this will have the same kind of effect in the creative world?
I don't know. This is a... Crash was very personal. Those characters that I was talking about there were basically all me. I mean, I just put my fears in other characters. It's what I always do. My fears, my hopes, dreams. And I've done that here, but I don't know. I think this is a film people are really going to argue about. And hopefully it will touch them emotionally. They'll have a visceral reaction. And they'll leave satisfied if curious, and then I'll have done my job.
Well, that's a great aspiration, and I think highly likely that will be achieved. Certainly was in my case. Paul Haggis, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.